Welcome to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast, the podcast that pulls back the curtain on the evolving world of sports science. I'm Andrew Rizza, an athlete trainer with decades of experience in professional, collegiate, and high school sports.
And I'm Cameron Roth, an orthopedic surgeon and a consultant for the Chicago White Sox.
In each episode, we'll explore the real-world challenges and opportunities facing today's human performance professionals.
Our hands-on experience is transforming sports medicine and breaking barriers through innovation and teamwork.
We're doing a media event on mental health today.
Yeah.
And Ward Manuel is coming in. He's the AD at Michigan. Ward was a football player when I was on staff there. We hired a guy by the name of Greg Harden. And Greg talks about Greg Harden all the time. Greg Harden was a mental health professional. Michigan was one of, if not one of the first, to bring these individuals in to help them with the mental health issues that they were facing. And Greg was a no-nonsense guy. He would give it right back to Brady. He goes, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you leave, does that mean you're going to play somewhere else?
Yeah.
And it's just take the attitude. Are you being the best person you can do?
Yeah.
Are you giving it all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you doing the reps the right way? We're doing a media event on mental health today.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
And Drew played football, and he was a hometown hero. So Brady was in that mix with stuff. And then Brady's grit, there's just no other way to describe it. If you look at his combine tapes.
Yeah.
In his cargo shorts.
Yeah, exactly. Brady talks about how when you're tired, you still have to put the work in. Because if you're not putting in the work in, the guy that's going to beat you is putting the work in. And he talks about this like philosophy, which is amazing. Because you look at him coming out of, as a Michigan, out of a
scrawny 180 pounds, maybe?
He looked like I did in high school.
Yeah. To what he's become.
There's this story when he was on the Patriots. It might have been Troy Brown or someone in Brady's vintage. You know, this player would show up to the weight room at 6 a.m. and Brady would be there and Brady would say, good morning. So I said, wait, I got to beat Brady to the weight room. So he'd show up at 5:45. Brady would be there. Hey, good morning. 5:30, 5 a.m. Brady would say, hey, good morning. I'm already there. Yeah. Brady would always be there before, you know, this player would show up.
Was that way?
Oh, yeah. Kobe. They talked about Kobe.
Mamba mentality.
Gentleman who did a keynote address for us for a convention, two conventions ago for ATI Physical Therapy, and he said he wanted to interview Kobe, and he bumped into Kobe, said, hey, can I come down and just watch you practice? Want to check you out. He goes, yeah, be at the gym at like 4:45. He gets the gym, all the lights are off. He hears dribbling. Security guy lets him in, he hears dribbling. Goes in, Kobe's there, he's already got a full sweat going. He's been there for like 45 minutes already working out. And he said, what are you doing? He's like, this is what I do. Every single day. This is how I work out. This is how I get better. This is how you beat the competition. It's pretty amazing.
Well, actually, the most amazing stat is NBA MVP and Academy Award winner.
He's an Academy Award winner?
That's pretty amazing. Yep, for sure.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Shaq didn't win for Kazam? Or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for Airplane?
That's right.
Who does he bring up when you try guarding Lanier?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's some funny stuff. Or you could, we've been rolling.
We're going to use this anyways. This is great stuff. I love it.
We're excited to be at the 2025 NATA convention. Today's episode is all about leadership legacy and what is next for athletic training. And we're honored to have the president of the NATA, AJ Duffy, with us. AJ, welcome to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is great.
How would you describe your leadership philosophy?
You know, it's a very good question because 5 years ago, I also ran for president of the NATA, and I didn't make it out of the boardroom for whatever reason. There was a 5-minute period of, wow, what the heck? But then I said, you know what? You did the best you could. And sometimes that just isn't good enough, or things aren't just going to fall that way. So, and fast forward to a couple years ago, I'm energized. Well, my wife says, hey, you know, you want this, so just go ahead, go for it. And I've read all the leadership books, okay? And then I looked at what all our presidents before have done, and I said, you know what? I can't be anybody else but me. I have to be the best me possible. So I'm different than Kathy Deringer, who was my predecessor. I'm different than Tori Lindley, who I sat on the board with. And when I speak about leadership to students, I said, don't try to be somebody you're not, because people will see right through that. I've learned a lot. And the one thing that I utilized is Pivot, because I didn't expect to have to go through an executive director search. I didn't expect to have to go through the loss of 10 valued members of the NETA staff 6 months into my office.
Yeah.
I've got these great ideas that I wanted to do. My central tenet is to look at where athletic training is going to be in 2050, which is our centennial year. And that is a very global perspective. Where's healthcare going to be? You know, where's education going to be? How are all those fixed in there? And as a leader, you've got to realize that you're going to have to pivot at times to what is in front of you. Don't lose the visualization of what your ultimate goal is, but it maybe have to be modified. So I tell people I'm TP, okay? All right? And they can say whatever they want about that, but yeah. I said, I'm the transition president.
Yeah.
Okay? And I share that with people to say, you got to be able to pivot because circumstances are going to change that.
Yeah. That's a great philosophy.
You know, we've talked, actually, we've had a lot of interviews this week, and we've talked about the state of athletic training now. And you just mentioned what's going to be the state of athletic training in 2050. So if we get straight to the heart of the matter, what do you think the state of athletic training is going to be in 2050? And where do you hope it would be?
What I hope it's going to be is it's going to be lockstep with the rest of medicine. The biggest change I've seen is where we work. When I came out of University of Michigan and University of Arizona, it was very narrow scope, secondary school maybe. Colleges were a lot of the jobs were. And then, you know, maybe we're fortunate enough to get in the professional ranks. But if you look at the flavor of athletic training now, we've got people embedded with the military. We've got people that are with public safety. We've got people in the arts. We did a media event yesterday on athletic training in performing arts. Mm-hmm. So what I see is that people say, oh, you're a unique healthcare provider. I said, no, we're not a unique healthcare provider. Okay. Physical therapists, physicians, the care that we give is all coordinated.
Yeah.
But I think what is unique to the athletic training is that I've been with Widener University for 34 years. I get to know the student athletes day in, day out. And the performing art athletic trainers have the opportunity to do the same thing because there was CERC or whoever. And I think that's what the unique perspective of athletic training is. And I think other healthcare practitioners seeing that value, say, hey, let's see if we can adopt that to physician practice or wherever.
Yeah.
But the best story I like to tell students, I said, you know, if you want to be a moron, okay, all right, okay. And they get these looks, and I go, if you want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane,
yeah,
okay, into a burning forest below, you can be a smoke jumping athletic trainer. We have those out in our gas. I go, I would prefer just to stay in the plane and just fly and land somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think that the sky is the limit.
Yeah, I think it's a good phrase would be healthcare for all, right? What are we trying to provide for everybody? Because when I get out of school, it was same thing, secondary school, traditional athletic training, collegiate, professional. They were talking about military, industrial, NASCAR, Disney, performing arts, like you name it. Again, the sky's the limit. Municipalities, I mean, everybody is active in their lifestyle and we treat active individuals, right? So yeah, why can't we go and work for NASA and work for these big organizations or work in, you know, GE Aviation and help with industrial athletes? It's a key to what we're trying to do to move our profession in the right direction, like you said, 2050.
Now, what you said about aviation, so there's three Boeing plants just outside of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So I had the opportunity to tour those. And if anyone played Army, you know, when you're a little kid, it was just great. I'd go into one place where they dealt with just the rotors for helicopters.
Yeah.
And to see the length of those rotors, the thing I want to say, let me see where that fits on the engine.
Yeah.
Okay. And then across the way, they built the Chinook helicopters from soup to nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my former students was working there, and he was showing me where they rivet the fuselage.
Yeah.
He goes, I've got a concern here because of the way their body position is in this, you know. And I go, wow, there's no difference than if I'm working football and I need to tell the football coach, hey, here's an issue with the drill or, you know, something we need to work on.
Right.
So that mentality of athletic training is very pervasive to look at not only dealing with the injuries at hand, but hey, what can we do to minimize risk and minimize all of that?
Yeah.
And in big business, if you can mitigate risk, it turns into savings of dollars.
Yeah, 100%.
Today's episode is sponsored by Get Raw, a potent antioxidant blend made with all raw organic ingredients. The Get Raw ginger turmeric formulation is 200 to 300 times more bioavailable to the human body. Documented benefits include decreased inflammation, improved digestion, immunity, cognition, and more. Get healthy, get well, get raw, the organic wellness shot.
What about the state of the NATA now in 2025? We're looking forward to 2050, but that's 25 years in the future. We're here today in Orlando. It's your meeting, 2025. What do you think about the outreach of the association, the membership, the enthusiasm? How do you think it is today?
I think that the enthusiasm is as good as it's been. And, you know, I shared earlier that we've gone through a very challenging time by losing our executive director and 10 NATA staff. And what do we do? So, hey, we've got to let that dust kind of settle, which we've done. And our interim director has done a great job with NATA staff and put together a 6-month plan. But it's also given us as a board to be very introspective in what we need to do. We had a great session in January where we looked at orthodoxy beliefs. Okay, why are we doing some of these things? Are we doing it just because that's where we've always been? So we're very intentional at trying to mold the association so it's a little more nimble, so that we have better response with to the members. So I'm really excited about the direction that we're going.
When you talk about orthodoxy beliefs, when you have that meeting and you have all the experts in a room, who is, I guess, fighting back against the dogma and orthodoxy? Are you bringing a bunch of dogmas to the table and saying, number one, this is a dogma, why do we do this, and then have counter arguments? And is this a pro versus con, or is everyone trying to change the dogma? How do those discussions work?
So we brought in a facilitator, and we provided the group with 6 or 8 dogmas. And we said, what does this mean today? You know, case in point, yesterday during the performing arts, as you know, we'll talk about the traditional set and traditional way of doing things. And I said, you know, we've got to break that mold. Okay. It's all about setting base, right? I worked in the college athletics. Okay. You got performing arts, industrial, right? Because we all treat everybody the same. So the energy in January when we did this is we looked at those dogmas realistically. And what does that mean? All right. You know, and I shared earlier, are we a unique healthcare provider? No, but that's one of the dogmas we have. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're unique in certain ways. It gives us a chance to take a look at what do we do best, right? How do we serve our members? How do we serve our patients, our athletes? And I think that's one of the biggest things that's been a change is patients. That's always been athletes, but we're all dealing with patients.
Right. We had this conversation yesterday with Jimmy Musler, who's on the ethics committee.
Yeah.
And he's a good friend and peer of mine. And we talked about our title, Athlete Training, Athlete Trainers. Do you think that is still an issue with the profession and people not understanding what athlete training is, which is holding us back still, you know, 50 years, 55 years in the making? Is there something that we need to look at as a whole governing body and say, maybe we should revisit this, or do we just need to educate people more about what we do?
We've looked at changing the name before, at least twice in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
And it's been a deep dive.
What are some options that you've considered? Just out of curiosity.
Athletic therapist, which is very pervasive in Canada. But we have to continue to educate people on that. What I do know is that people that are in the know of the parents' Friday night sporting event and someone goes down, they may get it wrong. Oh, there's the trainer, which is, you know, a blackboard. I don't know if anybody remembers what a blackboard is, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I had a blackboard.
You put fingernails on the blackboard.
Right. but they know who's going out to take care of their son or daughter is a qualified healthcare professional.
Yes.
We need to continue to educate everyone on athletic training. It is so much better today than it was 5-10 years ago. And I think with time, it'll become part of the vernacular.
Do you think that the events that we've seen, the catastrophic type events like the Damar Hamlins of the world and events like that on national TV, has helped the profession to recognize who we are and what we provide?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And from the international perspective, you know, I remember my wife and I sat captivated that night, all right? And I was fortunate to meet Damar in New Orleans at Radio Row. Just a very, very humble human being. He thinks the world of the athletic training profession. But it's the same way if someone falls here and has an event. It's at your institution where I started at Widener in 90 and in 1990, and I built an understanding of what athletic training is and where I had to bring in campus safety for emergency action planning. So here's another great story. There were issues with people driving on our track. Yeah. Right? Our track coach would just get nuts. So our grounds crew decided to lock the gate. Well, as luck would have it, I had an emergency happen.
Yeah.
And my student said, hey, there's a padlock on this. I go, what? So I said, here, take the keys. No, it's a dial lock. So we found bolt cutters. We had to bring Chester Fire over. You know, I knew they had bolt cutters. We couldn't find ours.
Yeah.
But we got it open, and I talked to the grounds guy, and I go, why'd you do that? He goes, well, the combination was over there. I could that down, Sarah. But the young me may have been really upset with him, but the older me was, wait a minute, this is my fault.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't bring ground screw into the conversation.
Yeah.
So by expanding that and talking with various people on campus, they know what athletic training is about. And so that is from the grassroots level.
Yes.
You know, my director of Ritz Management at Widener, I would go to him and say, look, here's what we can do. You know, the three R's in any level of college is risk mitigation, retention, and recruitment.
Yeah.
And if you've got an institution that's heavy in the sports, that should be a showcase event. Okay. Your student, athlete, your son or daughter is going to get the best quality care. And I was connected well to the Philadelphia area because I'd been there for so long. I had one student, one football player said, I don't want your doc cutting on me. I said, who do you want? He said, someone with Eagles. I said, do you mean Dr. DeLuca, Dr. Marchetto? Because you know them? I go, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what's also unique is, and then I think you probably have seen this as a physician, is a collaborative approach is so much better today. I mean, the team physician when I was growing at the University of Michigan, guy named Jerry O'Connor, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful orthopedic surgeon, great guy, very salty if you went to seek a second opinion.
Yeah.
So the growth is there. And I think that any physician is happy to have qualified healthcare professional, you know, physical therapist, athletic trainer, whatever, because he or she'll know that once you know each other's strengths, you'd say, here, just,
yeah.
My surgeon would use the great line from Blazing Saddles, whatever voodoo you do, go ahead and do it.
Great. No, that's absolutely the collaborative approach. I mean, there's a reason, at least personally, that I send people to it. Athletic trainers and physical therapists and occupational therapists is because your profession has an expertise and an ability that I don't. And it's a two-way street.
It absolutely is. Because we could pick up on some nuances and have conversations. And because what's the ultimate goal?
Right.
Okay. And I tell my young professionals, it's not return to play. I said, yes, ultimately it is. But it's return to activity.
Yeah.
Right? Because what about the athlete that has had his third or fourth ACL tear? Okay. Or someone has spinal cord injury. My philosophy is, hey, we'll get you back to what you want to do.
Yeah.
And then there's some students say, you know what, I've had it. I'm done playing sports. My ultimate goal is so that 20, 30, 40 years down the road, you're an active adult.
Yep.
And if you're active, it minimizes the stress on the medical system from hypertension, obesity, you know, it's all coordinated care.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always use that same type of, you know, phrase as return to life or active life, right? That's the goal. It's not what's happening today or tomorrow. It's happening again, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. Now, I want to stay on this because I think it's an important point is that we talk about collaborative efforts and us or me being an older athlete trainer, been around for a long time, I had to build my network of people and do it from the ground up.
Today's episode is sponsored by MetOne Technologies. Looking for innovation in orthopedics? Meet the only U.S.-based, Latin-owned manufacturer originally focused on spinal implants, now leading the way in upper and lower extremity solutions. They've just expanded their portfolio with the newly launched Fortis Distal Radius Plating System, 510K cleared and designed for next-level performance. This isn't just progress, it's representation, precision, and results, all in one.
How do you think the newer or younger athlete trainers are doing that today? Because I know that there's working with younger professionals now, I feel like they have a difficult time going and speaking to physicians and speaking to other collaborative efforts with physical therapists, occupational therapists, or whoever that may be, because they feel like everybody should just come to them. Where do you think, how do we bridge that gap on teaching them more how to be more outgoing and going and trying to build a collaborative team to help the people they're caring for?
Oh, there's no question. The onus is on us.
Yeah.
Okay. I tell students, I said, I can't change the fact that I've got gray hair and I'm a baby boomer.
I can't change that.
Okay. But I want you to learn from me how to network. Okay. I've got a network in place, how to build that. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. But you have to initiate some of these conversations. And don't be afraid to have those conversations. And, you know, I tell, you know, physicians to physicians, they're just regular people.
But, oh, I'm regular dudes.
You know,
we are regular
dudes. And you can challenge them.
I remember the first time I had a question about one of the physicians. This was back in the days of Butte. Okay. I said, hey, it's this kid's 16 years old. Should we? He goes, no, you're right. I had a orthopedic surgeon. I had a hockey player when I was at Michigan. He fell laying on his shoulder, on the tip of his shoulder. And I said, he's got a rotator cuff tear.
Yeah.
And the doctor goes, no, it doesn't. He's 20. I said, he's got a rotator cuff tear. Right. And this is why. And I was just being very matter of fact.
Yeah.
And the doc comes back and goes, we got whatever test put back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
He goes, you're right. I go, so it's how you approach things. It's being intentional. It's being matter of fact. It's not, you know, everyone needs to check egos at the door. And I learn from physicians as much as they learn from me.
Yeah.
We had a football player that was knocked unconscious 2 seasons ago. And I got out on the field and he had no symptoms, no cervical issues, hopped up. And I told the fellows, I said, just take him under their knees and just do an exam. You know, he's not going to play today. And the physician came out and said, it's essentially a normal email. I go, yeah, that's not unsurprising. I said, when you get complete knockout, you get a reset.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just like a normal exam. He wants to play. Well, I know he wants to play, but he ain't going back in.
Right, right.
So again, it's just learning. And I hope that as leaders for the younger profession, that they can see how we do that. But we have to be intentional when we are talking with other providers. Hey, this is how you're doing that, so that they know.
Now, do you think that there's some challenges to professionals not staying in their jobs for more than 16 months or 18 months? There's a lot of movement. Right? So there's not people like me that I've been in my same position for 30 years or almost 30 years. We don't see a lot of that anymore. Do you think that's why the relationships aren't being built? Or do you feel like there's a combination of the comfort level of doing that versus them moving around too much?
I wish I had a good answer,
okay,
but I don't. I think that the profession is morphing into something a little bit different. There's philosophies on both sides. I think that we've got to make sure as a professional, we ask for what we want. And we've got to as they tell people, keep it an opportunity, give it a chance.
AJ, thank you for your time.
We appreciate you coming on. This is great. We got a lot of great information.
Thank you for having me.
It was fantastic.
It was all mine.
Yeah.
Great connecting.
Well, I appreciate it.
Some more.
Yes, we will.
Absolutely.
I'll take a picture before you have to run out of here.
That's fine.
I'll give a handshake. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast. Follow us on social media, watch full episodes on YouTube, and check out our website.
The information shared on this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as medical advice. Please consult a licensed healthcare provider for guidance related to your specific situation. We'll see you next week.